The greatest problem in the world today is the separation between humanity and God. God created us, but starting with Adam, we have rebelled and disobeyed our Creator. We are guilty before Him. We are separated from God. And this separation is the greatest problem in our world today. Praise God. God Himself has come up with a solution. God Himself bridges the gap between Him and us. But in order to bridge that gap, Jesus Christ had to empty Himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this. It's behind me on the screen. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, equal with God the Father, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. That's what we are talking about today, is Christ becoming man. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One of the most important doctrines that we believe at Trinity Baptist Church is number one in your notes, Jesus is God in human flesh. Our relationship with God is broken. And number two in your notes, Jesus had to become a human to fix our broken relationship with God. There is no other way to fix it. There's no other way to solve the problem. Jesus had to become a human to fix our relationship with God. So this morning, we want to answer the question, why? Why did the eternal Son of God have to become a human? Why the incarnation? What does Jesus accomplish by becoming a human? Why is that so important? Trinity Baptist Church, Satan tempts us to despair. Satan tempts you to sin, but he also tempts you to despair. And for the true believer, Satan reminds you of your sin, reminds you of your guilt, and tempts you to despair. And often you will doubt your salvation. Often you will wonder if God loves you. Often you will fall into a works mentality. And the solution to that is that you know the gospel. And that is why we are doing these celebrations of grace. I want to regularly remind you of everything Christ has accomplished so that you know it. So that when Satan tempts you to despair, you in your mind and in your heart can remind yourself of all of the things that Jesus has done for you. The solution when Satan tempts you to despair is to put your eyes on Jesus. Would you please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2 and stand with me as we read the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, that is Jesus, likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the children of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Why did Jesus have to become a man? Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit enable you to understand Hebrews 2? Would you please pray for the people around you, perhaps in front of you, behind you, on your right or to your left, that God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, would enable them to understand Hebrews 2. Now would you please pray for me? I have one job this morning and only one, to explain what the author of Hebrews meant to say. Please pray for me. Gracious Heavenly Father, only by the power of your Holy Spirit may I adequately and thoroughly and clearly proclaim the riches of Christ. Help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Why did Jesus have to become a man? Why is that important? And what does that accomplish in our salvation? Number three in your notes, Jesus became a human so that he could taste death for us. That's verse 9. Jesus became a human so that he could taste death for us. Christ died for us. There's my sermon. In fact, that's every sermon. Amen? Christ died for us. The punishment for sin is death, and Christ took the punishment we deserve. That is what he accomplishes by becoming human. Christ took the punishment we deserve by dying for us. Look at verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus calls us brother and sister, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. When I visited Central Asia, I learned that to call someone brother or to call someone sister is a very serious thing. In the United States, it just kind of rolls off our tongue. Not so in other countries. To call someone brother or to call someone sister means you are family. Jesus understands that, and he calls you brother. He calls you sister. Verse 14, therefore, since the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. Jesus took on flesh and blood. Why? That through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Question, are you afraid to die? Jesus came to set us free from that. How did he do it? He died on the cross. And by dying on the cross, Christ defeated Satan. He rendered him powerless, says the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is behind me on the screen, and it says this, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ from all eternity. Should be another slide. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished, same Greek word, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the most awesome thing. This is why Jesus had to become a human, to render Satan powerless. Why do we put our faith in Christ? Why are we willing to suffer for Christ? Paul says to Timothy, join me in suffering for the gospel. Why? Why are believers all over the world willing to die for Christ? Did you know that in Afghanistan, we're praying for Afghanistan next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Did you know that in Afghanistan, it is a capital offense to be baptized? The law says that if you are baptized as a Christian, you must be put to death. Why do people do it? Why is an Afghan person willing to be baptized? Because they know that Christ defeated death. That Christ defeated Satan. Christ died for our sins. On the third day, rose again, and he is alive today, and he alone has the keys to death and Hades. And all those who are united to him have eternal life. Revelation chapter 1 says that behind me on the screen. When I saw him, says John, that's John, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. We've talked about this before. In my pocket are keys. This is my car key right here. I have the keys to my car. What does that mean? It means I have authority over my car. I decide who gets in my car, who gets out of my car. I decide where my car goes. I have the keys. Jesus has the keys to death. Jesus has the keys to eternal life. He decides who goes to hell and who goes to heaven. That's Jesus. And that's why, on the other side of the world, people will gladly die for the privilege of being united to Christ. Number 4 in your notes, Jesus became a human so that he would render the devil powerless. Jesus became a human so that he would render the devil powerless. The fear of death is very common. All races, all countries, all nationalities. I don't care if you're an American, if you're a Mexican, if you're Chinese, if you're Arabic. Everybody is afraid to die. It is a common thing throughout the world. But if you have Jesus, he sets you free from that. He sets you free from the fear of death. Never in my life will I forget my dad looking right at me before he was going to go into heart surgery in his 70s. He looked right at me and he said, "Son, don't be afraid. I'm ready." There's no fear of death because Jesus sets us free from that. John 11, behind me on the screen, says this: Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? This is why we do the One Hope Project, because I want that believer in Afghanistan who trusts in Jesus Christ and is facing the death penalty, I want that person to read that verse. If you belong to Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, even if you die physically, Jesus will come back to earth and you will rise again. He defeated death, and only Jesus can give you eternal life. Number 5 in your notes: Jesus became a human so that he could free us from the fear of death. We're talking about why Jesus became a human and what that accomplishes for us in salvation. Look at verse 16, Hebrews 2:16. "For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things." He had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Do you see, my brothers and sisters? No incarnation, no redemption. Jesus had to become a man. What does it mean that he became a high priest? He became a high priest. What does that mean? Trinity Baptist, this is a wonderful example of what we've been saying, me and the elders up here in the pulpit. You must read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. You are lost in the book of Hebrews if you haven't read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those 5 books explain the book of Hebrews. And it's very important that every single one of us read the scriptures cover to cover. What does it mean that Jesus is our high priest? In order to understand that, you have to have read the Old Testament. You have to have read Leviticus. And you had to know that once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest enters the temple with a sacrifice. You had to know that. That's in the book of Leviticus. It explains why the high priest does that. It explains that priests offer sacrifices for sins. God set that up to teach us about Jesus. And the high priest, once a year, on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, goes into the temple and brings a sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for the sins of the people. You're in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's turn a few pages to Hebrews chapter 9, and it'll explain it a lot better than I can. Hebrews 9. By the way, this is why it's very important when you're studying a book of the Bible to read the whole thing. You want to study Hebrews 2, you need to read the whole book of Hebrews. It will explain Hebrews 2. Hebrews 9, verse 1. Now, even the first covenant, this is the Mosaic covenant, the covenant God made with Moses with the children of Israel. Now, even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship. And the earthly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which there was a lampstand, the table, the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies. See, he's explaining the tabernacle in Israel. They set up a tent, and there's the holy place, and then inside, the most special place called the Holy of Holies. This is the outer tabernacle of the children of Israel. The Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things have been so prepared, look at it. Verse 6. Now when these things have been so prepared, the priests, plural, are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, that's the Holy of Holies, only the high priest. Pay attention to that. Only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. Children of Israel, you sin, you bring a sacrifice. You sin, you bring a sacrifice. You sin, you bring a sacrifice. But what about all the sins that you're not aware of? Those have to be covered too. God can't go up there saying, oh, he didn't know about that, I'll just let that go. No! Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. For the slightest little sin. So for those sins committed in ignorance, the high priest, only the high priest, goes in once a year and says, for all the sins that the people didn't know about, for all the sins they committed in ignorance, I bring this sacrifice. And for all the sins that I have committed, I bring the sacrifice. The high priest does that once a year. Why? Why does all that happen? Look at verse 8. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. They relate only to food and drink and various washings. The Holy Spirit is saying that that whole system is to teach us about Jesus. Verse 11, but when Christ appeared as a high priest, not any priest, a high priest. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. You see, the tabernacle down here is simply a shadow of the real temple in heaven, and Christ enters the real one. Verse 12. Not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer sprinkled those who've been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more, look at that, Trinity Baptist, how much more? If God honored the blood of bulls and goats, how much more will God honor the blood of his Son? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish? That's what we'll study in June. On June 4th, we'll study the sinlessness of Christ. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Christ is our high priest. Christ goes into the presence of God and offers the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and that sacrifice is himself. He is the sacrifice for our sins, and that is why Jesus died on the cross. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot of priests in this world. There are priests, there are bishops, there are cardinals, there is the Pope, there are pastors, there are fathers, there are monks, there are imams, that's Islam, there are all kinds of religious officials, there's the Dalai Lama, there's the other guys whose name escapes me. None of these guys can bring you to God. Only Jesus can fix our relationship with God. Only Jesus can be our high priest. And that's what he accomplished on Calvary. And that's why he had to become a human. Look at verse 17, Hebrews 2, 17. Take it from 16. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Therefore he had to, see it? He had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. This is extremely important that you know this. What is propitiation? Amen. That's exactly right. Propitiation means to appease or satisfy God's wrath. God's wrath. John 3:36 says this. It's behind me on the screen. Have you got it? He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Ephesians 2:3 says this, behind me on the screen. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We have broken God's law, all of us, and because of that, our relationship to God is broken. We are not born children of God. We are born children of wrath. By dying on the cross, Jesus removes that which separates us from God, our sin, and repairs the relationship. What separates you from God is your sin. By dying on the cross, Jesus removes it, and we can be reconciled to God. Romans 5, 8 and 9, behind me on the screen, says this. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. 1 John 4:10 behind me on the screen. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 3:23 through 26 behind me on the screen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he could be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I've told you this before. If I could only give you five verses, I'd give you those. Someone came to me and said, I'm sorry, Bibles are illegal. Trinity Baptist, we're handing them out to various churches. Trinity Baptist can have five verses. What do you want? I'd say, give me Romans 3, 23 through 26. And I can lead the church with those. In Bible times, people worshipped all kinds of gods. What is propitiation? That's what we're asking. In Bible times, people worshipped all kinds of gods, and the gods would get angry. Maybe you've read about this in Greek mythology. The gods would get angry. And what would happen? The people would have to do something before the angry god wiped everybody out. So they would bring a sacrifice and appease the angry god. That is how the Greek word propitiation was used. Our God is different. And this is what I want you to see. God is a God of wrath. His wrath is real. His wrath is deserved. And we are born under that wrath. But God doesn't wait for you and me to solve the problem. The Greek gods would stand in anger and wait until the puny little people appeased their wrath. And the people would have to do something to bring propitiation because the people were guilty. Why should the God do anything? The people are the ones that disobeyed. And the Greek god would just stand up there saying, you're the ones that disobeyed. I gave you a chance, but you're the ones that disobeyed. So you've got to fix it. God is different. God in his love provides the sacrifice for us. God propitiates himself. He brings the sacrifice to fix the relationship. Even though we're the ones that were guilty, we're the guilty party. But God, in his love, sends his son to quench his wrath. And that's what propitiation means. Jesus is our sacrifice. And when he died on the cross, he made propitiation for us. He provided the ultimate sacrifice. And that is why, brothers and sisters, he had to become a human. Number 7 in your notes. Jesus became a human so that he could be the sacrifice for our sins. I'll close with verse 18. Hebrews 2:18. For since he himself was tempted in that in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are being tempted. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Look at Hebrews 4:14 behind me on the screen. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest. Look at it. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus sympathizes with our weakness. And that's who we have up there. That's who we have. Seated at the right hand of God is the one who understands our struggles. Number 8. Jesus became a human so that he could help us in temptation. And that's why he had to become a human.